Today is Sexagesima Sunday. These are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will not be any benediction this evening. If you were unable to assist at Mass yesterday or the day before, the blessed purification candles will be distributed after Mass today by the ushers. Also, if you did not receive the blessing of throats on the feast of St. Blaise, come to the communion rail immediately after Mass to receive the blessing. There are some important feasts this week. Today is the feast of St. Andrew Corsini. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Agatha. Tuesday, St. Titus. The 7th, St. Romuald. The 8th, St. John of Matha. And Friday the 9th is the feast of St. Cyril of Alexandria and a commemoration of St. Apollonia. And on Saturday is the feast of St. Scholastica, a sister of St. Benedict. There will be the adult catechism class this Tuesday, February 6th at 5:30 p.m. It will be in the hall and online. It will be the last class and podcast. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, you gladly put up with fools, because you are wise yourselves. For you suffer it if a man enslaves you, if a man devours you, if a man takes from you, if a man is arrogant, if a man slaps your face. I speak to my own shame, as though we had been weak in this matter. But wherein any man is bold, I am speaking foolishly, I also am bold. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I, to speak as a fool, am more. And many more labors, and prisons more frequently, and lashes above measure, often exposed to death. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 lashes less one. Thrice I was scourged. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was adrift on the sea. In journeyings often, in perils from floods, in perils from robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and hardships, in many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those outer things, there is my daily pressing anxiety, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I am not inflamed? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that concern my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. If I must boast, it is not indeed expedient to do so, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words that man may not repeat. Of such a man I will boast, but of myself I will glory in nothing save in my infirmities. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I forbear, lest any man should reckon me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, and lest the greatness of the revelations should puff me up. There was given me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Concerning this, I thrice besought the Lord that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. At that time, when a very great crowd was gathering together, and men from every town were resorting to Jesus, he said in a parable, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell upon the rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell upon good ground, and sprang up and yielded fruit 100-fold. As he said these things, he cried out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But his disciples then began to ask him what this parable meant. He said to them, to you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Now those upon the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen. But that upon good ground, these are they who with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, St. Gregory says this gospel needs no explanation because our Lord and Savior explained it to us. So, the question for us is, are we the seed is the word of God, as you heard. and we are the ground. We are the soil. And so, are we the good ground or the bad ground? That's the question. And what can we do to save ourselves if we are the bad ground? Priests and religious have the advantage, unless others take advantage of it, we have the advantage of the divine office, and so we pray the breviary every day. And during this week of Sexagesima, we read all about Noah and the flood. And so we remind you, first of all, that we do believe in the dogma of the church that everyone is given an opportunity to be saved. It doesn't make any difference who they are or where they are in the world. Everyone is given an opportunity. They're given the grace to embrace the truths of the Catholic faith and go to heaven and be sorry for their sins. That grace is offered to all. Some accept it, some reject it. That's also a dogma. In other words, not everyone is saved, contrary to what we may have heard. So, if we are saved, it is because God has saved us, and if we are lost, it is because we have renounced God's grace. We've refused to accept His grace if we are lost. We cannot ever blame anything on our blessed Lord. So we have the advantage of reading all about Noah and the flood. So even though all of those people who were lost at that time, apart from Noah and his family, it appears on the surface that they were all lost. Undoubtedly, some were saved, but it doesn't look that way. So it's very sobering. All the human race, apart from a few people, appear to have been lost. And this is given to us at this time in preparation for Lent so that we will take this time seriously and be certain that we are prepared, that we are the good ground that is ready to receive God's grace. St. Paul is given to us as a time, as an example for all of us, not to be afraid of our enemies, because he faced them all of his life after he was converted. He's given to us because he's our apostle. Remember that. St. Paul belongs to you and me. We hope you pray to him as you have at the beginning of the Mass with the prayer invoking St. Paul's prayers on us. We hope you pray to him. He's our apostle. We pray to him every day. He's one of the last ones we invoke before we go to sleep. But he's our apostle, and he's given to us, first of all, as an example, because he was so much like us. He was a great sinner, like us. And he became one of the greatest saints that ever lived. And he tells us about all that he suffered so that we can be aware that our sufferings can help us and that we can be saved like St. Paul. Despite our great sins, like St. Paul. This is why he's given to us, not to be afraid, not to be afraid of our past sins or our enemies, not to be afraid of our enemies at all. We face them, stand up to them. That's what St. Paul did. And he is also given to us because of his great suffering, which he embraced willingly, lovingly for us. And so we remind you that during this time of Lent, we must not let our sins overwhelm us, get the best of us. We can help ourselves significantly by attending the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass at this time. Don't ever let your sins bring you down. Never. Many centuries ago, there was a great saint, Saint Abraham. Not the patriarch Abraham, but as a saint. He was a monk. Lived in the desert. And his brother gave him to watch over his niece, the daughter of his brother, Saint Abraham's niece. And so he watched over her. And she fell into sin. She disappeared. There was no internet in those days. She was difficult to find. But he found her. And she was in a brothel. And he pleaded with her. And pleaded. And finally, she agreed to come with him. And that girl became a great mystic. This is why St. Paul is given to us at this time, because he's saying to us, this is what he tells us, all of the favors that he was given. He was taken up into the third heaven. And he saw, in some way, he saw God. It's given to encourage us, brethren, that we can be like St. Paul and like the other saints. And it can begin now, so that this Lent we are prepared to die. No matter how old or young or sinful we may be prepared to die. By the time Easter comes, we are prepared. During this past year, we have seen more than one young person come that close to death, right here in this group. Hopefully, they are mystics now, after facing death. So we need to come to Mass every day, if possible, during Lent. And we know some people are not able to attend because their work schedule interferes, or they live a great distance. And so they do not have the benefits of being present at the Masses each day. But that does not mean that they should sacrifice this Lent simply because they cannot perform the most important work in the attendance of Mass. There's no reason, no legitimate excuse why we cannot spend time alone in prayer. Mental prayer every day in place or in addition to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Mental prayer, spiritual reading every day. If we do not practice these things, we can very easily be lost. There are many reasons for us to be concerned about our salvation. Because how often do we perform our duties for the love of God, for the Sacred Heart of Jesus? How often do we think of God? Not often, do we? How often do we do things for love of God? When you came to Mass today, did you have it in the forefront of your intention to do this for the love of God? Some people come to Mass because they are forced to, in one way or another. Maybe their parents force them to come. Undoubtedly, there are people like that. Some people come to avoid the pains and the fires of hell. That's good. It's good to avoid hell. But it's better to do it for love of God. If we can do this, if we can perform our daily chores for the love of God, we are safe. This makes us safe. Love of God is our purpose. We are put here on earth for that. We hope you all come here for this purpose, to know God and to love Him. Many years ago, in the West, Western United States, there was a Jesuit priest, and for 6 months, there were these two boys, little boys, brothers. For 6 months, they came every day to receive instructions. He would teach them. They came 7 miles. They walked and ran for 7 miles, and they never missed a day. And at the end of that 6 months, it was a very, very cold day, bitter cold. And the priest went to the church, and there they were. And he said to them, "Boys, you might have stayed home today because of the bitter cold." And they said, "No, Father, we can't take a chance that we need to be instructed about God so we can know Him." It's two little boys. I said, "We can't take that chance." So, we thought it would be a good idea for you, after we've told you about the importance of loving God and doing everything for love of Him, for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who is here right now, offering us all of these graces constantly, every moment. Since we've already told you all about that, we thought it would be a good idea for you to hear, even before Lent begins, in addition to the value of loving God in everything we do, we thought it would be good for you to know also that it's wise to avoid the pains and sufferings of hell. And so, our Lord and Savior appeared to, a great saint. If we are not mistaken, it was Saint Catherine of Siena. And he told her that the people who have been damned, who are in hell, if they were given a choice of not having any sufferings at all and no vision of God, no sufferings, no heaven, or they could see God and they would also have the sufferings of hell, despite the horrendous, unimaginable sufferings there. He said they would choose the sufferings and the vision of God. This is St. Peter of Alcantara. The pains of hell, St. Bonaventure tells us, this is St. Peter of Alcantara quoting St. Bonaventure, so we can trust it. "These pains should be considered under those material aspects and figures such as the saints have taught us. Thus it is well to imagine the place of hell as a subterranean lake, dark and obscure, or as a very deep well full of flames, or as a black and terrible city consumed by raging fires, re-echoing to the cries and groans of tormentors and the tormented alike, with endless weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do not believe any liar that tells you there is no hell, or that there is no one there. That's directly from Satan. Doesn't make any difference who says it to you. This dreadful abode gives rise to two principal kinds of pain: the pain of loss and the pain of sense. As for the pain of loss, reflect how there is no exterior nor interior sense that will not have its own proper pain. The wicked have indeed offended God with all of their members and all their senses, and have made of everything an instrument of sin. Thus will it be ordained that each one of these will suffer its proper torment and pay its debt. Here the eyes of adultery and evil living shall endure the awful vision of devils. There the ears that have hearkened to lying and obscenity will listen to unending blasphemy and groans. The sense of smell, which has reveled in the sense and sensual odors of vice, will be filled with an intolerable stench. The taste, which has regaled itself in gluttony and varied dishes, will be tormented with a devouring hunger and with thirst. The tongue, which has been addicted to murmuring and blasphemy, shall feel a bitterness as of the venom of dragons. The touch, which has lingered lovingly in sweet caressing blandishments, will wade, as Job says, mid the icy waters of the river Cocytus. The imagination will be racked by the apprehension of the present sufferings, the memory by the recollection of past pleasures, the understanding by the thought of future ills, and the will by the immensity of anger and rage which the wicked will entertain against God. Finally, will be gathered up in one all the evils and torments imaginable. There will be a cold, says St. Gregory, past all endurance, in an unquenchable fire, the worm that dieth not, an intolerable odor, darkness that is palpable, the fierce blows of the tormentors, the sight of devils, the disorder of sin, and the despair at seeing the loss of all that is good. Tell me now if it is already so insupportably hard to endure even the least of these evils, and for the very shortest space of time, what will it be to suffer at one and the same moment and in all one's members and senses, both interior and exterior, all this multitude of evils, and that not for a space of one night or a thousand, but throughout an infinite eternity. By what sense or words or judgment can we in this world grasp or fathom this reality? Greater beyond all comparison is that which theologians call the pain of loss. They will never know God, and they cannot love Him, not that they want to. Now, just as any pain is the greater in proportion to the greatness of the good of which it deprives a man, so also, as God is the greatest good of all, the loss of Him will be the greatest evil that there can possibly be. Such are the pains which all of the damned suffer in general. But besides these general torments, there are the particular ones which each one individually suffers according to the nature of his sin. There will be a special torment for the proud, for the envious, for the avaricious, for the impure, and so on for the rest. This is, in fact, the greatest of all sufferings endured, that it will never end. For if some limit might be set to the endurance of these afflictions, 1,000 years, 100,000 years. Or if, as one of the doctors of the church puts it, they hoped to see the end after having drunk all the waters of the ocean by taking a single drop every 1,000 years, this would be to them a source of unending consolation. But it is not so. These pains will last with the eternity of God. The duration of these miseries will be measured by that of the divine glory. As long as God shall live, so long shall death endure. When God ceases to be that which he is, then shall the damned cease to be what they are. God bless you.